Hello guys, how are you doing today? Welcome to another beautiful episode of the Billionaire Habit Podcast with me, Dr. Stephen Akintyre. And today I have one of my favorite people in the world. I probably call him my first ever mentor in life and probably my best friend, because I really don't know how many things I can't tell him. Or he doesn't know. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Mr. Olumide Akintayo.
Thank you.
Alani Olu.
Alani Olu. Very powerful.
My billionaire brother. Farmer, you know. Where do we start this podcast from?
Let's just pick it up anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yes.
You know, so I will start with our childhood. You were the prodigal son.
Yeah.
I grew up, you know, watching you always, you know, I mean, breaking all the rules.
Yes.
Breaking. And I remember, you know, just so clear.
Yeah.
When I think you failed, whether you're, you know, you had done your WAEC in 1997.
Yes.
Then we moved to Kwara State.
Yes.
Then you went to Bidapoli or something for remedials. And then you had to do, because now the standards is more tougher.
Higher in the Southwest.
In the Southwest. Yes. Even though that is even middle belt. Kwara is middle belt in a way. But the standard is higher than the core north in Borno State.
Yes.
So you need to do WAEC again. You need to do JAMB again.
Yeah.
And then you failed.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
It was the first one. So the first ever I did was 96, 97.
Mm-hmm.
That was my WAEC. And it was, I tell people, it was very, very interesting. I had lots of F9s. So I had 2 credits and 1 pass. Hallelujah. So the credits, the first credits was in Hausa language. The second credit was a Christian religious knowledge.
Which is a given.
Yeah.
Considering our father is a pastor.
So the pass, I guess, WAEC just felt, this guy, let's not just, they just gave me pass in geography. So I went to the Polytechnic in Maiduguri there, Math Polytechnic.
Yeah.
With then they allow you that, okay, you go and write WAEC again, but you get admission.
Okay.
So when you get your papers, you now fix it.
Mm.
So it was Ramat I went to. Then we now moved to
Kwara State.
And I needed to, it was too far. Mm. It's not like now that there's communication. Mm. You know, in those days, you can't
reach.
There's no email, there's no phone.
Mm-hmm.
This mobile phone came 2003.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking of 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so even reaching from Maiduguri to Kwara was just so mommy wanted me to just come down. So mm-hmm. But here you must have your papers. Mm-hmm. So I had to go to Bida to rewrite.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I cleared my papers at that point.
But there was an encounter I remember where it was an altercation between you and my dad. I don't know.
It should be the first one.
But because it was in Jeba actually. And I remember, I mean, we were your recruits and exactly.
Yes.
And I will never forget it. And for me it was important because it's how one of the leadership lessons I learned from you, where you were like, look, the horse
in front is
supposed to correct the younger ones. And rather than you flogging and say daddy was just being unreasonable, you were honest with us to say, look, I messed up as well. I mean, you know, my parents may be too hard on this, but I messed up. And it's wisdom that you guys don't repeat.
I
will say that's one of the first leadership seeing you, you know, of course I've also seen you do a lot of bad things that I'm not proud of.
Yeah.
And I will spare you that on this podcast. But I can categorically say that was really noble, seeing someone own up to say, hey, I made a mistake here.
And you guys should correct.
Yes, and you guys should learn. I mean, how did you evolve into that version? Because you were not always like that.
Okay, so my change actually started at that point. Recently, I was reminiscing and I was like, I need to find this man. So I got this continuing education center, a coaching center.
Wow.
And the man was good. He's in Bida.
Yeah.
That was what took me to be there now. Maybe, I went for...
Maybe he will see you through this.
Yes. I really am looking for... I need to...
What's his name?
The name of the organization is Continuing Education Center in Bida.
Okay.
I don't know if it is. In fact, I searched for it on Google.
Yeah.
You know, it's somebody I want to reward.
Yeah.
You know, for me, in my academics, that was a changer. You know, he was the person who let me know that you can do this.
Wow.
You know, I used to believe my brain cannot take education.
Wow.
But guess what? I cleared my papers. I never did further maths. I had a B in further maths.
Wow.
Yes. And because of that place, till I finished university, I never read my maths related courses until it's exam time.
You were that good in maths?
I was that good. If you see my transcript, any maths-related course, if I had a B, it's a fail. I'll probably print my transcript. If I had a B, it's I didn't do well. It's usually A, B, A, and I don't even read. You know, so that was the game changer for me. And then the second game changer was in the university. When I became born again. Okay. Now, that's one of the gifts church gave me. Church helped to transform my mind.
Yeah.
My mind. You know, and I'll give it to two people who laid foundation for me, Bishop Oyedepo.
Yeah.
And Pastor Sam Adeyemi.
Reverend Sam.
Okay. So I was in the university, I was new, born again, and one of my neighbor was a Daystar member. Then there was cassettes, not
yes, CD. Yes, it used to be cassette.
She had lots of his cassettes.
You introduced me to her. Sir.
Yes, yes. So luckily, he's also on radio in the morning. We had this red lamp that is cassette player also that we used to use in those days. So I would listen to him
on radio. Gen Z don't know what we're
I don't know. I would listen to him on radio. I would hear his cassettes. You know, and Bishop Oyedepo's cassettes. I didn't forget the two ones. I mean, I ate those cassettes. Bishop's one was Launch Out Into the Deep for a Catch. That's the title.
Launch Out Into the Deep.
It was that. Say, Omado, the core message of the is that there's nothing in the shallow waters. If you want the best in life, go deep. You know, so I probably listened to each
more
of those
than 100
for one
yeah,
more.
Every time I visited you,
I'm telling
just
you, it was a
over.
Continuous repeat.
Yeah.
I just needed my mind, you know, and
shattered.
Then from there I began to read books on leadership, and you know, I tell people the me then and the me now. If you know the me then, we are two different people.
True.
I'm telling you.
True.
So. That's one gift I can say the church, the Pentecostal church gave me. Renewing of my mind. Renewing of my mind. For my academics, I owe it to that coaching center. But for my life, the core principles that define who I am now were given to me because of the church.
So I always talk about one of the experiences that I can remember way back that made me to hate poverty. How my mom would take me to her neighbor, you know, to borrow money because I'm going back to school, boarding house, you know, she want to buy groceries, she want to pay school tuition. And they would look at her from head to toe. And I know you know those neighbors.
Yeah, of course.
And then at the end of the day, they would still not give her the money, tell her she's, you know, and then she would, and I would be fighting her, just pissed off that, see, you've embarrassed us now. They still didn't give you the money. And, you know, why do you do this? And so looking at all those experiences, I knew I can't just be poor. But for you, what was your own story about
I've never said this anywhere in public before, but I think this is a good opportunity for me. So I tell people the inheritance I got from my parents were not tangible things, intangible things.
Mm.
Okay. Because my dad has nothing. Okay. For my dad was my biggest motivation.
Me too.
To be
well, let's hear his version.
My biggest motivation. Until date, I'm speaking to live camera. No woman can tell you I've collected a dime from her. I as a rule,
you don't collect money, from women. Because of my dad.
I'm telling you.
Producer, say why.
Because the truth was that I saw how not to be
a man
in my dad. So I learned what not to do from him.
Mm.
Okay. And my dad wasn't that. I know, you know, most times I just felt my dad was an intelligent man.
I'm telling you,
my dad started succeeding in his 20s.
Yeah.
Made, you know,
very early on.
He started making good money early. But somewhere, and that's religion. Another issue I had with religion again.
Yes.
So religion. Even though religion had given me certain things, but there were certain things it took from me. Yeah. So it was when he embraced religion that he now became the version of him that we don't like.
God called him.
And then he left the responsibility of the home to the woman. So the woman had to do more, which was probably why she died very early, you know. And that's another story. But the day I swore to be rich, I came home. You know, I was a fellowship leader on campus. But part of the reason was because I was always on fellowship.
Mm.
So people thought it's because I love church so much. It's because even during break, I'm on campus.
You're not going home.
Because there was nothing to go home for. There was nothing to go. You know, so I rarely go home. And thankfully, my mom is very faithful.
Yeah.
She sends me my monthly stipends.
Yeah.
Anyhow she can.
And yeah.
So I'm fine in school.
Yeah, so rest in peace.
Yeah, so rest in peace. But at some point, maybe when the school is about to resume, I'll need to go so that, okay, these are the things we need for the new session and all that. So, and there's no phone. So people need to understand, it's not like now, there's no phone. You just have to travel. If you needed to get something done, it's either you travel or nothing. So this particular day I came home and this man, the moment he saw me, he started panicking and was telling mommy, your children are here. As if he's not my father. They are here now to pack all the remaining money. You remember we have needs in this house. We have needs in this house. So don't pack all the money and give to him. And I was hearing. You know, for me, it was just, this man, I don't even want to come home. You don't understand. I don't want to come home. It's just necessary. If you see me at home, it's because it's necessary. And that was why after my NYC, I didn't go home. I started my life after NYC. I never came back home. Okay, so I was just pissed off and he was monitoring, what do you want to give him? And you see, and we need to buy this one. He started giving the woman a list too, as if he's also a student like me, you know. And after the whole scenario, I just got pissed off. I picked my bag and I left. I remember that day I got a bus going to Ilorin from Jeba, and I sat in the front, and you know, my heart was just heavy.
Yeah.
And I just swore, I said, this money, I will make this money, but I'll make it legally.
Yeah.
That was a clause, and that was it for me. That's growing up, it wasn't easy, it was tough. I've had reasons to get cheaper ways to make money, but that clause, I always said, I'll make this money, and I'll make it legally.
Yeah.
I don't want to make I used to remember Abraham's statement. I don't want to make the kind of money that people will say,
if not for us,
that he So I'm very conscious.
Yeah.
Recently, a lady gave me an offer that some people will transfer money to my account because we do big volumes in our business. So that they will transfer some money, they are politicians, so they will bid contract and they will, so I will now transfer it out, they will give me commission. You know, the person was pressing, just all you need to do, just present your bank account. You know, it was tempting. But I said, I didn't do it when I was small.
Exactly.
It's not now. I mean, what do I want?
Yeah.
You know, so at that point, when we were going on that journey, I swore. And that was it. I decided I was going to give it all. And even though I had failures, every time I fall down, I will rise up again. I'm telling you, I will rise up again.
Yeah.
We have and that in common. We are doing not too badly. We are doing not too badly.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. You know, another encounter I will never forget was my mom had died, and your wife was pregnant. We were all in the same house.
Yeah.
The house, the only house my mother had. And I think it was like going 2 days we had not eaten.
Yeah.
And you know, poverty has a way of giving you creative ideas.
Ideas.
So you had come up with brilliant idea. You had a friend who has a vegetable farm.
Yes.
And you had this concept, okay, I'm going to dress in suit. I will take, you know, what we call a bag, you know. So apologies for derogative word of Ghana must go
back.
And then you were going to be putting vegetables there. And then you, since in Otta, there are a lot of factories and they have big cafeteria, you know, you're going to go to each of them to convince them you want to sell vegetables to them. Graduate in suit with selling vegetable.
Yeah.
I came up with, of course, I was going to be going to 20 schools, checking to 20 schools in Otta to sell bulk SMS.
Yes,
I had my strategy.
Yeah.
And I mean, what was going through your mind in that entire experience?
So there was something you said before.
Mm.
That trended many years ago.
Okay.
That you can't be two things at the same time.
Yes, poverty and pride.
You can't be at the same pride. So permit me to remix it.
Please, remix it.
You cannot be poor and not have mouth.
Hey!
You can't have the two together. If you don't have money, at least have mouth.
Hmm.
Okay, and it's my message to young people.
Yeah.
You know, most times young people, I'm passionate about young people.
It's true.
You know, our life is a proof that you can start from nothing.
I can
tell you nobody can stand today and say, if not for me, for this boy.
Yeah.
Nobody. I'm saying it's life. So we had nothing, and thankfully for mommy.
Yeah.
You know, my mom, you know, our house, you are much like mommy.
Yeah.
God bless her. So
we
picked lots of her traits.
Yeah.
My mommy is the one that embraces everybody, but she makes sure she doesn't take us to anybody. We always we manage whatever we had in the family. You know, like people send their children to one family to take care of. Mm. We never had that. But others will come. Even with the little we had.
Yes.
Once you don't mind what we offer you,
exactly.
Our house is open for you. You can sleep anywhere. You understand?
We can. I think at some point we eight in one room.
Several. Everywhere.
Because it was a two-bedroom.
We sleep on single seaters. This is our bed. So our furniture is always bad. Okay. So back to that point.
Yeah.
You know, for me, do you know the guy, the farm guy? I didn't know him.
Really?
I didn't know him. It was because of, in the course of looking for, you know, when there wasn't nothing, I was into marketing, but it wasn't enough. Mommy has died. All the siblings are with me. So the bills are big. You are the only one that is hustling, you know. So we just needed to be creative.
Mm.
So I just thought, okay, what is common to Otta? And it was factories. There are lots of factories. okay, what do I have as life has given me that I can offer to this factory? A Greek commodity, a Greek product. Okay. Let me go look for where I can get those products. So I went on a search. I met this guy who is a vegetable farmer. And he will plant and be looking for market women to go and buy. And I gave him offers he can't resist. I say, I have my laptop and camera from real estate marketing that I was doing that time. So I said, what if I decide to help you sell all these your vegetables? You know, that's going back to why I say you must have mouth. If you don't have money, you should be able to use your mouth like this to make something happen for you.
Very true.
Okay, so all I had was my mouth. I didn't have the money. So I went to use my mouth to talk to the farmer. Mr. Farmer, you know, everybody runs away from marketing, but everybody needs to be a salesperson.
True.
That's the truth.
True.
Okay, so I gave him an offer. We are going to help you sell your... Because I've learned that from selling real estate. Real estate is even tougher than
vegetable.
So it was easy. I used the camera to capture the farm, you know, and I began to knock on each factory. I wore my suit, put the vegetable farm on my laptop, you know. So when I arrive, I would say, we have a product for you. So they think it's bankers that want to give them loan. So you sit down. So I'll just open the laptop and you'll see vegetable. Just buzz into like, are you serious? And you know, I never got a single no.
Yeah.
You know, it just captured them.
Yeah.
And I just told them, see, you go to market to buy, we'll bring it to you.
Yeah.
See, we even package it
well. Unlike the ones in the trade
that you see.
Sun has,
you know,
smashed.
So it was a no-brainer. They had to be like, oh yeah, bring. You know, I employed my first staff selling vegetables.
True, I remember.
From there, yes. I now connected with the export I'm doing now.
And it's ridiculous that a vegetable business that says with zero.
Zero.
Was the foundation
for a multi-billion naira
Greek export business
I'm telling you, sir. So I tell people,
young people,
I started
won't
with
believe
zero. It was with
they
that vegetable that I registered the first company.
Young people won't believe it.
Then the rest is history.
They
I'm telling you. But you can't just be that you don't have money. You have time. You have mouth. Use it to get what you want. I think if there's a summary for a young man, that is just it. You have time, you have mouth. It's just, marketing is just it. It's just it. Everybody wants somebody who will sell for them.
Yeah,
so if you don't have anything, go and sell for people.
Mm.
I know sales is something people run away from because, so I'll share with you a story.
Mm-hmm. I don't know it.
No, you don't know this
one.
In my early days, marketing, because when I came to Lagos, I came with nothing. So I started marketing for real estate developers. I remember I leveraged networks. If you know me, you are not able to buy.
Mm-hmm. You must refer somebody.
So one of the people referred to me. I went there, you know. I knew Lagos because of marketing, because I was jumping everywhere. I've never lived in Lagos before I came.
Yeah.
Okay, so this woman was a teacher in one Lagos State school. You know, she was referred by a friend. So I came and she sat down. I was packaged. I did my presentation as usual. You know, the woman was quiet, looking at me. After I finished, you think that my message was entering her and she was really ready to buy. You know, after I finished, she just said, it's not your fault. It's the Nigerian economy. Otherwise, what will a fine young man like you be doing selling land? You know, I just felt this woman, if you are not buying, just tell me, oh God, no, they buy. Why are you trying to make it? You know? But guess what? I can employ that woman now, wherever she is. I'm telling you. Wherever she is, I wish those are people I would like to meet. I know she won't know me again. Even me, I won't know her again. But I would have loved to meet her and do her some good. Okay? So I know it's not easy to sell. It's kind of, but trust me, if you don't have money, the cheapest thing you can do is go for marketing. That's it.
Well, before I continue, there's a song. Like I said, when I heard that song, it was just you that came to my mind.
Yes.
Because I just knew this is my brother. I wonder why you are not the most famous in my family, because you are fun.
Okay, I'll tell you why.
Why?
The truth was that somehow.
So let's hear the song.
That's the song.
So, if you don't know this song, I'll be surprised. I'll be while I'm making money.
Oh, my haters.
Okay, who else like this song?
The politician.
You like it. You know, you too. It's your favorite. When I heard the song, I said, this is my brother's kind of song. In fact, I've made up my mind that before you leave today, they will play the song, you and I will dance with it, and it will be what I will post on social media.
You know, the biggest revenge
is massive success.
Is to succeed.
Massive.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The biggest, trying to be telling people's story, you're wasting your time. Just succeed. Just succeed. You know? And let them be the ones coming to beg you. Some of those people called me today.
Wow.
They literally called me.
Wow.
See, I've been humbled, sir. I've been humbled. People I never, ever would believe will call me for hands out have called me. I've been humbled. You know, I just feel this life is so fickle. I'm telling you, if you know what is in this person that you are messing up like this, you will take him for lunch.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you want to be on his good side.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the song is just nostalgic. It just tells me this is the best way. I'm not going to take it easy. I've not even started. I'm telling you, we are going to rock this world. Yeah. The world will know that people like us came.
True.
I'm telling you. True. You know, in those days, my Dr. T.D. Jakes used to say, I wish there are more people like me.
Mm.
You know, the world needs to have people like us.
True.
Many more people like us. People who will, regardless of what life has thrown at you, regardless of what life, you can decide to take life as half full or half empty. It's up to you. You can take those lemonades and turn them to lemonade. Everybody has excuse. Everybody has reason not to succeed in this life. Everybody. That's my story. Everybody. That same excuse that you are giving. Somebody used that same excuse to become who he is.
True.
For some of us, failing is not an option.
Yeah.
See, if anything happens tomorrow, I'll still rise up. I'm telling you. Will still rise up, because that's the best way to pass message to those people. Let them be seeing you and be hating. Now they are no longer hating, they are calling for hands out.
Yeah.
I want, and I will make sure I give.
Really?
I will make sure I give that part. I'm telling you.
I like that part.
As a rule, I'll make sure I give you.
Hmm.
You might feel it's not enough.
Yeah.
But I'll give you.
Hmm.
If you call again,
I'll give you.
I have one of those people who really told me literally, say, you can't succeed like this. So. You can't succeed. He felt I'm too religious about my approach to success.
Yeah. Doing it by the book.
Yeah.
Doing it legitimately.
Yes. And that, it just feels this guy, you can't, this is your approach. You have to be dirty.
Yes.
See, it's possible to succeed clean.
Clean.
My business mentor's first clean. Business clean. Name is called Clean Slate.
I like that.
Yes, that's his first business name. It's called Clean Slate.
I like that.
I'm telling you, he's one of the few people I've seen. He's a very, very...
Is it the one that visited his house with you?
Visited?
His house with you?
Have we been to his house together? Yes, I think, a long time ago. That man... That man though is very, very private.
Yes, he is.
Extremely private. One of my sessions, I'm sure you will see this, because one of my sessions with you in Ghana, he had to call me and say, you see, he was powerful teaching. But you see, those money side be removing them. I'm sure you see this. You still call me. I saw what you said. I said, you see, don't just say somebody else. I told you, I said, see, you know, for us, it's a battle between good and evil.
Yes, it is.
Why is an average young person wanting to be a Yahoo boy?
Exactly, because they are ready to flaunt it.
Yahoo guy is marketing it better.
Yes, he's willing to tell you.
It's my message to most of my friends now. Let's market it. Those of us who want to do it legitimately,
exactly.
Let's market it well.
Yeah,
that's why I support what you are doing.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, let's market it well.
Yeah.
So let's win more converts also.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean sharing flyers. You know, it's a war between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Letting people know that you can succeed in this same Nigeria by the books.
Yeah.
And the other guy, you understand? So that's what it is for me, really. You know, it's about helping people to see. That's why I came to, I'm a private person. But you had to influence me to start.
Well, we are trying.
And it's because of this is my reason, you know? I would just have to win more people and help more people.
I mean, it's important because if people are doing legitimate things, are bold, they're out there, you do illegitimate, people are laundering money, people are doing all manner.
Yeah.
They're bold. Politicians are stealing money. They're bold.
Yeah.
Right? Literally, a politician with claim he's ready to put fire in another politician's state.
Yeah.
They are bold. Then you are doing legit things. And then you're like, we don't want it to be. I mean, the Bible says the righteous shall be as bold as a lion.
Yeah.
Right? You have to understand that the social media world game is about boldness, it's about audacity.
Yeah.
Right? And even if people are audacious about wrong things, more people will follow them in the nonsense. And if you're audacious about the right thing, more people will follow you because you're on the right path and we have to push that.
Yeah.
One of the, again, I mean, people should be careful not to assume me and him are not always on the same page.
That's the truth.
Right?
That's the truth.
But at some point, I think
our
core got us a lot more closer and closer. And I want to mention one of those experiences where my respect for it really rose, and it became why in family meetings I'm like very much in support of your decisions. When my mother died, the gratuity that was given, and we've run a culture in my family where the older gets higher.
Yeah.
So even when we ration
with food,
right? So he gets more, followed by the next. I'm number three, and then
Daddy gets the biggest.
Yeah.
Followed by mommy, then me.
So it's been the culture.
Mm.
And then here, my mother died, and retirement, or is it gratuity, you call it. And you decide to split it five places with the five children.
Yeah, equally.
Equally. And you were playing the role of my mother. you're playing the role of my father because my dad is still alive, yeah, but he's not financially responsible.
At all.
So you're playing that role. You literally had what it takes to have. So you know what? I would take 50%. I'll share the remaining.
I'm paying the bills.
Yes, I'll share the remaining 50% with you guys. Why did you do that? Because for me, that was one of the. I'm putting this out there because there are families, there are leaders, and who happen to be firstborn, and who need to know that because. I mean, we'll get into that because I lost my own version of that money first. Yeah. And I did before the rest of you.
Of
and
course.
You were really mad at me.
Yeah.
Until when you lost your own too, before you realized that. Welcome to the club. But why did you do that?
Okay, because so that I'll important. Answer it in two ways.
Yeah.
Number one, I think over the years, I have gotten to discover one of the things I call my superpower.
Okay.
Yeah. It's my ability to be very, very, I think I have a very strong financial integrity.
You do?
It's because I, as I go in business, I discover people struggle with it. So I decided, I think this is a superpower. Let me just embrace it. Okay. This is the second, I believe there's nothing anybody has that I can have. Okay, so I would rather be interested in what is my own than what is another person's own.
Even if their own is more.
Even if I don't mind.
Yeah.
But what I can do with this my own is what I wanted. Okay, so that's why that my own, I won't play with it. Your own to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I it's just the nature in me. I felt... We are equal. This is like the only inheritance we ever got. If we are, can say we got inheritance now, that is it. Put everybody on the same level. Let everybody not, you know, family is very sensitive. If it has, I have done it the other way, tomorrow, some of my siblings will be saying,
you say it was
because he had a better advantage.
Exactly.
Now they can't say that.
Yeah, true.
If they want to say it, you of all people will come for anybody. Okay. So I think it's because of that gift that I call, take somebody's things doesn't enter my eyes.
Yeah.
It's just one funny thing.
Was that something we were taught by my mom or my dad? Because we have, most of us have that in the family. Not all, but.
Not all.
You know,
I don't
at least you and I share that.
Yeah.
We just don't get moved by it.
At all.
It doesn't matter how much.
At
like,
all. At all.
I can't, and I sometimes I wonder whether it was, you can show me $20 billion today. If it's not my money.
You know the funny thing?
I just don't.
As we are sitting now, a heavy money can enter this place.
Yeah.
My account now. And nothing will change in my lifestyle. You know, I won't because of that.
Go and buy one shoe.
You won't see, you won't know.
One shoe.
You won't know. Because it's just, so that's why I call it superpower. Because over the time, I've learned to see that, and as I go further, that people are struggling with it. Okay. And that is one. Number two is that as leaders, we must learn accountability.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that I feel our people in the North lack. Most of my business in the North. I tell people why did most of the statistics that says Nigeria is poor. Most of those statistics
from the
North.
Yeah.
And why poverty thrives in the North is because the people in the North don't hold their leaders accountable.
True.
Some of the richest people in Nigeria are in the North.
That's true.
The kind of
way richer.
Money
way
that
richer.
Is in the North, we don't have it in the South.
Very true.
I mean, it's almost my home now.
Very true.
Okay, but their elites are wise. To use religion. So they give the most of those preachers big money. Just preach to them. Let them be contented. Let them
with being poor.
Yes. I'm telling you. The kind of religious brainwashing that has been done to the our diver. There's this boy that I met one day in front of my office. He was literally weak. Very, very weak. And I thought he was sick. So I asked one of my staff, please take him to the hospital and go and treat him. On the way, he told them that nothing is wrong. He's hungry. Now he needs food. So my staff had to come back. God, this guy says he's not medicine. He needs, so it's food he needs. This boy, Steven, is not up to 7 years old.
Jesus.
It's between 5 and 6.
Jesus.
He's fending already for himself. So from that day on, I decided, okay, I'll adopt you. Every day you will eat from me. I took him to a restaurant, say, feed him every day and send me the bills monthly. So I did that for year one, year two. The third year, I just felt, this guy, is he how he's going to continue?
Exactly. Just eating.
Okay. Boy, come, go and help me get your family. I want to put you in school so that you can be educated. Before I land, the boy said, they won't agree. I said, what do you mean? I'm not even asking you to say, go and bring your people. He said, no. Do you know, that was what parted with me and that boy. He refused to bring his people. I saw him some other time. I'm telling you, 7, 6, 7, that boy. He says, they won't agree. Many years ago, I said, days later, I said, this boy, I told you to bring your family. Said, I told them, they said, no, that they won't agree. Okay, so the leadership, this is a leadership podcast. It's key as leaders to learn accountability. And if our leaders are not accountable, we need to hold them accountable. That is when revolution will happen in the Northern Nigeria. The day the Northern youths, you see what happened? This protest, what it cost some of us in business. You know, when you were saying it, as I am now, I'm supposed to be extra busy. But because of that protest, of course, most investors will not come. Nobody will want to do business. Yeah, let's watch the country now. Okay? But the truth is, it's one of the things we don't have from the north, that I just have to know that when you are a leader, what my mommy had, I'm responsible for it. So I need to handle it in such a way that wherever she is, she can look and say, okay, you have done well. Mm. You know, a day before she died, hours before she died, I saw her in a dream. Yeah, I saw her in a dream. And I woke from that sleep. A call just entered that she has died in the hospital.
So what happened in the sleep?
She was strictly telling me to, I wrote it down somewhere, that she was literally handing over to me in that dream. Say, handle this thing with care. Handle it with care. And you know, she was shouting, handle this like Stephen, please take care of this thing very well. You know, like you are fighting me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was more like a fighting
tone. I'm hearing this part for the first time.
I've never shared it. You know, I woke from that. It has never been that dramatic for me. I can't have many dramatic dreams. I woke from that sleep. It was a call that woke me from that sleep. And it said that she come rush down to the hospital. And she just died. Okay, so for me, it's deeper.
Yeah.
Okay, it's deeper.
Yeah.
I'm accountable. That's why I see that I hold certain things, even when some people are trying to. I'm not accountable to you. I'm accountable to the real owner of this estate.
Yeah.
And I will do it with all honesty,
yeah,
as best as I can. I'm not perfect, but I will do my best to.
There was a part of our journey that Alitza got to hear, that on the day we were burying my mom, some of our siblings came to you that were not going to put a coffin in the ground of the house she built, the land she bought, that house belonged to
their mom.
Their mom.
Yeah. So
I don't get how that works.
So the My mom was the third born.
Thank God I didn't know, because I was going to scatter that. You know, I'm not that nice.
You are not nice. I'm much more diplomatic than you are. Okay, so my mom had four siblings. They are five, just like us.
Yeah.
There are five siblings.
Yeah.
One died, the first one died.
Yeah.
So four is left.
Mm-hmm.
So the day she died, of course, like I told you, we didn't have any family supporting us. So
yeah,
I had to take responsibility.
Even the burial, naira did not come from any of these siblings for burial.
But at least they came.
You know.
So
came to collect the land, not for the burial.
So you think that it was for
the burial.
So we have dug the grave, you know. And they have done, it was supposed to be to, they have done the program. We were supposed to drop her. I think we dropped her.
Because I was the one that brought the coffin. Yes,
we were supposed to drop her. But after the dropping, then they just summoned me that they shouldn't cover the grave yet. So they called me and were like, at least there's one person alive who wasn't happy. The wife of the oldest at that time, she's still alive. And I knew what she was almost crying when she was like,
this is bad.
And these people, I mean, they are shameless. I won't forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dio's mom, you know, she was almost in tears that these people are so shameless. So, you know, and then they called me and said, well, we are aware that our mother has a land, and from what we gathered, this land belongs to her. Okay. And this is another message for those of us, because we are there now.
Yeah.
That as your children begin to grow, begin to expose them to what you do.
Yeah.
Let them know.
Yeah.
The truth was that the documents of that land had been with me since 2002,
2003.
Mm.
And she died 2009.
Yeah. It was just one day, you know the way she walk up and down. She just walk hard.
My mother is a strange woman.
My mom is the most hardworking woman, I can say it boldly, I've ever met. Hardworking, tireless. Yeah. Myself and Steven probably picked that part of her.
Yeah.
Tireless woman. She came in, you know, very tired, you know, that day, that night, and just said, that's not a property. This is the survey and the receipt, the original receipt. And then in 97, when I finished secondary school, she made sure I went to Lagos. That's my first time in Lagos to go and visit that
the land.
So this one was this
just one plot of land.
Just a plot of
land. For, I think, 18,000 or 8,000.
8,000.
8,000, yeah.
It was many years ago. Okay. It wasn't actually the first land. Her first land was in Ikotu. It was when she didn't develop it. So I'll tell you the story. They took it over. So she came to ask for her land. I said, well, you know the way this land people do.
I said, you have another one.
You know? They are together, forget. Yeah. They planned it together.
So hey, boy, mini
it's a mini question family, but
from Ikotu to Tongota.
Yeah. So they now give her that one. So that was what necessitation. Now I felt, okay, this one now. Let me put this skeleton building there.
Yeah, now put her sister.
Her sister has been struggling with rent.
With rent,
before.
Yeah.
Come and stay here. So that was how the story happened. So I know all the story. I'm privy to everything. So when they said, I just smiled. I said, is it that one? No problem. I'm coming. Just wait for me. And I went to service with those papers. The only asset I had on me is those documents. I always move around with it everywhere. I went to NYC with it. And I came to Lagos, I came with it. It's always at a hidden place in my bag. Under, I always hide it somewhere. I just went, I opened my bag, brought it. What name is this? Okay. Say, but they said our mother has a land. I said, don't problem. there's this land my mommy bought. I had to clear them because I'm also aware of that in Ogbomosho, because I school in Ogbomosho. She said, okay, she wants to build this half plot. She wants to build a house for her mom. Her mom was alive then.
Yeah.
So that the woman will come and retire there because she was staying in this other land with her sister.
Yes.
So, okay, she will build this one. But she was not able to build it till she died.
Mm-hmm.
I know who was in care of that land. Even though that document was not with me, she kept it with the guy that was in care of the land. So I just had no
problem. Did the document have her name or her mother's name?
I never get to see the document, so I can't say. Okay. But what I got to know was that when I later got to know that one later, that when they left my place, they went, all of them went straight to Ogbomosho to go for that land.
To go and collect it.
To go and collect it. And that they borrow money from the guy to change the name on the document to another name. So that eventually told me
it wasn't,
their help. But, you know, it was just the only way I could so you know, something to appease them.
You have to give them another.
Yeah, something that I know was, okay, this was half plots. It was, I just had to negotiate that part and say, okay, you people take this one. This one is more important for me than that one. It's not even.
But could you believe that people can be? And that's why for me, I gave you kudos for, you know, being able to share our mother's inheritance equally among five siblings. Because if we see what her own siblings did to us and did to her in her death.
I'm telling you, in her death. In her death.
We have to give you kudos.
In her death. You know, nobody, even after she died, nobody. That's why I could say that, and nobody can stand up today or tomorrow and say, if not for me, for these children. Nobody. Because even after she died, we didn't see anybody.
Now, people, I get feedback, comments on social media from some of those siblings how I'm being accused of not taking care of the people who literally... I don't understand.
See, there's nobody...
And I'm like, I don't know you.
There's nobody you that know, I don't do for.
I don't know. You are the first son.
And I'm just saying...
And thank God you're also very successful.
Nobody can hold you.
They should leave me out.
Nobody can hold you. It's the family. Somebody's doing it on behalf of the family. That's what is important.
So
you can't say that this family is not doing for you. You can't say. You might say Stephen, but Stephen is not even available. How many times are you in Nigeria?
I don't know.
The me that is always around, there's no time. I don't do. I do from time to time.
So...
And it's not a function of whether you aimed it or not.
Yeah.
But it's the right thing to do. Mm. So we are doing it. It's what mommy will have done when she's alive.
Kudos,
she was serving all of them when she was alive.
To you.
You understand?
You know. So,
and even in her death, we are still servicing those cross, her cross that she was carrying. That's the truth.
My argument is I'm busy with my immediate. Right, when I'm done with my immediate, I will pray and consider the extended.
You can't
you go ahead
anybody.
And be doing the extended.
You can't even satisfy everybody, my brother. Even if you are doing, it will still not be enough.
True.
I think the law is that just do your best. Because like Reverend Sam said, you are not El Shaddai. You can't meet everybody's need. What is important is that, I think I learned that from Winners Church. Winners will tell you, no matter how much, just give the person and pray for the person. Yeah. This will be the last time.
Last time.
You will be
Bishop,
begging for money.
Bishop,
yes.
You know,
so,
you know,
they will
this money will multiply
in
your hands. In the name of Jesus.
So
I do that a lot.
We will give you. You can say it's not enough.
Yeah.
And sometimes, depending on how I feel, your request is annoying. I'm good at giving some money that will caution you to think twice before you come again. I'm telling you, I'm very good at that. You can ask, and I just feel, because people ask me for some ridiculous things.
Sure.
I've had people, family, his wife got to have a baby and is in the hospital, just delivered. And you came to meet me that, My wife just put to bed. I said, oh, congratulations. So give me money to go and release her in the hospital. I said, am I the one that helped you impregnate your wife? You know, in our family, we could be blunt.
Yes.
You know, I said, okay, wait. How much do you have from the money? That time, it was just 10,000. How much do you have from this 10,000? He said, nothing. So that was when I said, am I the one that impregnated?
And you had 9 months notice.
9 months notice. Pregnancy is not what happens overnight. You had 9 months notice. There are certain things you can't ask me. I'll just look at it. If I give you something, you will know. I just want to dismiss you, because you had 9 months notice. House rent is 12 months notice. You understand? I just told him, I'm sorry. But I handled him. He never did it again. I handled him well. Okay, so we are doing for them. My feel is not enough. Fine. The truth is, one of the things I know about people who always feel you didn't do enough is when the tables do turn around, they won't do half as much as what you are doing for them.
Very true.
I'm telling you.
Absolutely true.
They won't. They won't.
I mean, my next question would be, I mean, I lost my own money immediately. I mean, I was already heavily into business. I think, in fact, in a few months after I lost everything, couldn't renew my office, you know. I mean, I always shared that story between 2012 and 2013. And it was a tough season of my life. I will never forget. But I started from scratch. And that's why when I teach entrepreneurship, I say money is not the biggest capital that is needed. Because I've been there. Mm-hmm. I've had situation whereby I started a business, had little savings, got a little from what my mother left, you know, was given for her retirement. Mm-hmm. And I lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I started everything all over again afresh.
Mm-hmm.
And I've built a massive empire in 4 continents mm-hmm. after that. Mm-hmm. So obviously it wasn't the capital, because I started afresh without any capital.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you then later on, years later, you lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go for you?
You know, as you grow in business, you understand there's something you were saying 2 days ago about if you succeed in Nigeria, it's going to be easy for you to succeed in many other
Very
places.
True.
Because there are many things as an entrepreneur that you're fighting against.
Yeah.
Okay. My own first major loss was I went to a town called Taraba to do business. Sesame Seed. It was my first year. And, you know, and this guy, in those days, we deal with cash a lot. You know, that's another story. We deal with a lot of cash, you know. So we went to do business with this guy. He was supposed to be our agent that buy from the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow he never returned with a good chunk of the money. You know. Oga, what happened? Stories. I've never been to court before that time. That was my first ever time of going to court. That was my first ever time of sending somebody to jail. Okay, because what was left, I said, this guy, I will spend the rest on you. And that's a part of me, the darker side of me. I could be extremely stubborn at some point. You know, I was bent on, you know, everybody was calling me. He says, you don't lose money. Leave the town, they come back. I said, for where? I know they go.
You stayed in that town?
I stayed, though. Until he went to jail. There are two options. So either you get back that money for me, or you go to jail. And he couldn't. So we made sure the judge sent him to 2 years in prison.
Mm.
And then that was my first major loss. Mm. But that just goes back to tell you, and this is also to young people, that we emphasize too much on capital. That's the cash now when we're talking about, but there are other There are many other assets that you can leverage.
Is one of its social capital.
Having a social capital. Yeah. Okay. So, and for me, that was what I eventually leveraged when I lost everything. I had used the money to build good name with my clients. And of course, when I lost everything, so I decided to do something. Of course, before that time, I've learned a principle. So I decided to practice that principle. And the principle is this, that when I lose everything, I will look for who I can serve with my skill.
Who you can serve with your skill.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that was what I did. So I had this, my friend, who is in the same line of business. I said, okay, you know, I'm experienced. So let's work together. You find the money, I do the purchase. Whatever you can give me, let's work with it.
Wow.
The truth was that the deal was in favor of him. It was more like me now employing as a staff under him.
Yes.
That's the truth. So he asked me, okay, go and work in that place.
Yeah.
Okay. And at the end of the day, what I got from him, what I spent was more than what I got from him. You know, but I'm telling you, Stephen, something supernatural happened. It's inexplainable. I served the guy for a few months.
Yeah.
And after about 4 or 5 months, somebody just called me from, I'm not telling you fiction. Somebody just called me and said, hello, how are you? Where are you? I said, I'm in the north. He said, can you come to Lagos? I said, well, why not? And we met at an eatery. That year was Swiss sensation. And he said, the guy, except he probably was, he wouldn't know that he was an angel at that point.
Wow.
He would, except he watched this now.
Yeah.
He wouldn't know.
Wow.
You know, he said, you know, I want to invest 10 million in your business. You give me whatever you can. But my younger brother will come and do apprenticeship with you.
Wow.
Within the period while the money is with you. I said, fine, beautiful. And then, of course, that time, 10 million is not...
That time.
More like saying somebody gave you 100 million or something. Okay? No document was signed. That's why I said it's not natural. No document. We just spoke on that table, shake hands, and that was it. I just saw a lot. True. And his brother came. And that was the capital I used to
grow back
eventually. Of course, leveraging other of my older clients, clients, we do business. And so, but it taught me that key lesson. When I'm down, I look for who to serve with my skill. And somehow, the reward doesn't have to come directly. Mostly, it doesn't even come from the person directly. Somehow,
heavens will
just provide a means to put me back on my feet. That's happened not once, I think twice or three times for me. It always happens again. I'm telling you. So I've mastered it now. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was my journey through.
Funny enough, this resonates what you are saying. For me, I get shocked now. People do business with us. $250,000, $500,000, $1 million. And sometimes I'm, you know, getting follow up. Okay, this client. And they even tell me the person has not even signed any document. I'm like, who invests such money and doesn't even rush to sign document to bind? And it tells you that it's not when people say, hey, if you can, I can just have money. I'm like, it's have Integrity. How about that?
I'm telling you.
Let people know that
you
do everything possible in your power to keep to your words with them.
I'm telling you, sir.
It will take you far.
Two things you must never lose as a young man. Like I said, I'm passionate about young people. If you don't have capital, have skill and have integrity.
Yeah.
You'll go far in life.
True.
I'm telling you, have skill to trade with.
Absolutely.
Then have integrity, because that's one problem. Sometimes we meet people who have skills.
Yeah, but no integrity.
No integrity.
Or integrity, no skill.
Or integrity and no skill.
Yeah.
So you must find a way to balance those two. If you have it, I'm telling you, you don't need any capital.
In wrapping up, I want us to talk on this not giving up, because, I mean, if you ask me, one of the gifts I got from my dad, because for me, the lesson I learned from him quitting business and going to religion was that he had a challenge with his business.
Yeah.
And instead of reinventing, he believed it was because he wasn't serving God enough. That's why he was having business challenge and then quit.
Yes.
So it made me literally mad on just being consistent.
Mm.
If life brings me down, I'm going again. And I'm going again.
Stronger.
And I'm going again.
Deeper.
Stronger. Like I am mad.
Yeah.
And I know scent.
Yeah.
Right? I'm focused. I know where I'm going. I've seen you as a bit the same. How has all this changed you to be that kind of person that you're just not giving up?
Yeah. So again, back to what I said earlier, that the inheritance I got from my dad were the intangible. One of them is this never giving up spirit.
Yeah.
Because I could see, you know, sometimes Yoruba people will say the lamp doesn't see itself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I could x-ray his life.
Yeah.
And look on a neutral perspective and see that, oh, this will have been, it was a defining moment in his life.
True, true.
That if he had handled well.
True.
And let me tell you what happened. He got successful. He's into construction, building construction. So he gets contracts.
I took after that.
Yes, he gets contracts.
Don't do contract.
Yeah, he gets contracts from the north. You know, in those days, the northerners were not that exposed.
Mm.
Okay, so it's people from the south that goes to take all the contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere along the line, their political elites began to
take in their contracts.
Begin to pro. Say, in fact, I had one saying where one of them said, let's begin to groom our own people too to do it.
Mm.
So they rather give the contract to the northern guy. Mm. You can be under him now. Okay, so that was the change that happened at that point.
Mm.
And in every business, there will be winds of change.
Yeah.
The ability for you to evolve, you know, is what determines whether you'll be relevant or true.
Mm.
You know, at that point, it just happened that the North contracts were not coming again.
Mm.
Rather, it was the allergies that were collecting it. Their eyes were beginning to open.
Mm.
So he did what the typical, you know, that script is still happening now.
It is.
The typical thing is that you run to religion at that point.
Yes.
You know, he said, oh. Mm-hmm. So he now remembered.
The idea is witches from village.
Yes. Or somebody that was saying.
I said, you never make it.
Yes. So in the place of going to religious, somebody told him that, you know, this was not actually originally what you were supposed to be.
Exactly.
God has called you to
into
be
ministry.
A minister.
Hallelujah.
For him. And that's why I call it was a defining moment in his life.
Yeah.
Okay. He could have decided to evolve his business.
Mm.
How would I have handled it? I would have collaborated with an indigene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you,
yes.
Scrap my company, register a new company with him. Make him the director too.
Yes.
Let's be partner.
That's
so
true.
We use his own image to collect the something.
True.
What matters is that? So, okay. As a joke I give my people in my business, I said, nobody will tell you that this money, you made it from the bush in agriculture, so I won't collect it from you. I said, take this money. I said, well, how did you make this one? I say from agriculture. I say, no, I don't want agriculture. Once it's clean money, people will collect it, yes, if you give it.
Yeah.
And what matters is that you got the results.
That's true.
You know, but he went the religious way and we suffered serious. You know, if Stephen is telling you that we suffered, you people cannot fathom. I'm telling you, you can't fathom.
I don't understand.
You can't fathom. You can't fathom. I mean, the us that you see now, we had to recreate ourselves to be who we are now. The poverty has killed our morale and our self-esteem and everything, you know? So he took us into deep, because the woman could only do so much. She had her siblings banking on her. She had her own children. She had her husband to take care of. He is now the man in the house. She's now the one to goes to work. My mom is so hardworking. When she falls sick, doctors say, go and sleep. That all you need is rest. She gets home. My mom will only sleep 1 hour and she has gone out. She's that tireless. She will be at work. They will say there's an opportunity to travel. There's an allowance. So somebody else that is supposed to go, she will say, let me go. I'll go. Just so she can make the bills complete, you know. So I saw all that, and for me it was just a motivation that Omo, I see that if your destiny is what I call, what Papa, I think I learned it from Bishop, the law of absolute responsibility.
Yeah.
That whatever becomes of your life is 100% your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You will not succeed until the day you take 100% responsibility. That, you know, it's either it works or it mm-hmm, works.
Mm-hmm.
It's either it works. Mm-hmm. There's no two way about it. This thing will either work or it works. If we fail, we redo again. We review what didn't we do right. What do we need to do right? And then we recalibrate and then we launch out stronger. And that's how we have gotten to where we are today. It's not because we didn't fail. It's because we refuse to stay down. Every time we fall down, we reinvent ourselves and launch out stronger. There are many things that originally we are not wired to do, but we just have to pick up some skills so that we can achieve. That's reinventing yourself. You can decide to stay and keep complaining. The government is not okay. Do you know what I have done, Stephen? In the last 2-3 years, I have never seen the kind of real estate developments in the states where I do business like I've seen in the last 2-3 years.
Despite,
what does that tell
you? Despite the
that,
so-called...
Yes. That in the midst of the so-called economic downturns, people who are succeeding are succeeding. There are some people that will not build house when cement is 1,500. They will start building when cement gets to 15,000. I'm telling you, and they will build some I've seen some hotels, some... I mean, like, man, they say there's no money in this country. Okay? So it's you recreating yourself, reinventing yourself, and telling yourself, it's either I succeed or I succeed. Generations and destinies are tied to your success. Don't think if you fail... is yourself. You have failed many generations. There are many people who are tied. I've helped people, Stephen. I've received some calls, some people I can't say that you know. Some that I used to envy when I was a young people that called me that I'm having this serious health issue. I need bailouts right now. And I'll be humbled. Things like that just humble me. That, wow, this life, this person. So imagine if I am like that person too that I didn't have. There's nothing you can do.
Two poor people can't help themselves.
Yes, that's a quotable quote from Stephen. Two poor people can't help themselves. So there are destinies attached to you. There are destinies attached. You can't afford to fail. That's my take on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can go all day with my brother. I told you he was my first ever role model. And he's, you know, at least he's one of those I can count in my one finger that I respect the most in this world. And thank you for coming and sharing. I wish a lot of people know you. You know, sometimes I enjoy him. I just wish he's the one people know more.
And because I'm a private person, you know, I have to conclude that I'm an introvert extrovert.
Because you are more extroverted than I do when you talk.
Yes, but you know, I'm more. You know rigid. Why I have to just conclude that I'm an introvert extrovert.
Yes,
I charge more. When I'm alone, I enjoy my company.
I'm the same.
Yes.
I'm
the so same. Ultimately, I'm the same. I'm a very private person. Yeah. Ultimately.
Yeah. Hello, guys. I hope you've enjoyed this beautiful episode of The Billionaire Habits with my billionaire brother.
Yeah, so
they are Greek farmer and amazing person. Feel free to reach out to him. Amazing. Alanio Luis's handle
on IG.
On IG is on YouTube as well. On IG. He has a lot of good content. He's big on financial principles. Yeah. He has a book called Money Rule of the Ants. Great guy. And that there's so much to learn from. Thank you for coming once again.
Yes, thank you very much. I want to encourage you. You're doing a great job. I love your passion for people. I said it earlier that you picked that from my mom. You are genuinely passionate about people. I'm not sure I've seen too many people like you. There's no perfect human being, but Steven loves people with their hearts. That's my mom. I'm telling you, every time you do something, I just say, this is Deborah. This is Deborah. My mom is out for people.
Yeah.
When my mom died, what I thought she has as gold, I took them to the market. They were plastics. She would take care of people at her own expense, which is another lesson I learned from her. While you are taking care of people, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm deliberate about giving myself treats. I can decide to just check into a hotel and stay the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually been in a hotel since we last met.
Wow.
Yes, I'll just be going home now. I give myself, I don't deny myself. Because I give people money. I pay people school fees. I pay people hospital bills. And so it was the mistake my mom made. She was busy taking care of everybody
without doing for herself
and forgot about herself. Yeah. So by the time the health issues came up, it attacked her.
She
quickly
had nothing
because she wasn't taking care of. So I told myself I would not make that mistake again. As I'm helping people, it's a good thing to help. But you are a phenomenal guy.
Thank
I wish
you.
There are more people like you.
Thank you for your kind words. It means a lot coming from one's older brother.
Yeah.
Love you guys. See you next episode. Have a great day. Bye-bye.